I'm Bri.
I'm Merc.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Todd.
What?
And Todd's naked.
That's true. I am naked.
Covered in Nutella.
Welcome to Zero Issues Podcast.
Yikes.
Finally got Todd on the show.
Hooray!
Elusive Todd. He's been mentioned probably in every episode.
Yeah, this is the man you've heard so much about.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I feel I'm the only one who listens.
I feel like you're the only one who listens too.
It's like I won a contest where I was the only one who entered.
So if anyone else listens, just please tell us.
If you're the 94th caller.
Yeah.
It's going to take 94 years to get 94 dollars.
We don't have a phone.
We didn't give you the number.
This is just a regular iPod. I know it looks like I've been taking calls. It's been a lie.
It's just an iPod Touch.
I just want to feel important.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. President.
Grade me and validate me. I'm oh so good and oh so very smart.
So what are we talking about this week?
Some stuff.
Stuff.
Comic books?
I guess.
That's an idea.
Todd brought notes.
I did bring notes.
Yay, somebody other than me made notes.
I know, right? Woo! Don't you feel so free right now?
I do.
I'll be like, I didn't make any fucking notes.
Yeah.
just eat your notebook.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, we were touching on some things.
Some topics,
like events, for example, was the main crux of it, basically, and then we were also sort of got into a little bit about, you know, movies' influence on comics. Just, you know, a little touch into that. We might sort of get a little more in-depth about some stuff there. We might not. We're kind of freewheeling it a bit. Todd's got notes.
I do have notes.
And and there's a lot of sort of business aspect of stuff that he probably has some insight on.
As we've mentioned, Todd does work at a comic store. He works in the industry.
That's right, I do.
Yep.
So ladies, single ladies, if you're listening, 40-year-old who works in a comic book store. Huh?
I don't know which was the more hilarious part of that sentence.
Just leave your contact information, we'll put you in touch.
It's a lot of bad life choices.
But more fun, right?
Well, sure. Fun. That's what we'll say.
Okay.
Fun.
Fun. I could hear the air quotes.
You can?
Yeah.
I'll actually do them.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, that's too much.
I don't know if you can see me on this.
It works in a visual medium.
Apparently, yeah. We act
this
like it's a visual medium.
This is just audio.
Yeah.
Really?
Apparently, we've gotten some show notes.
Yeah, we have. The producers come in.
I thought that was you.
We've been making videos of these the whole time.
Yeah.
And we will never release them unless you give us $1,000.
Or sponsor
each, us. Each! Shit! Each! $1,000 each!
Yeah. Fantastic. So where should we kick off here?
Okay, note guy, where do you want to kick off?
Special guest?
Okay, you guys did touch on how the books have inspired the movies and the cross-market synergy there.
I believe those are the words that I used.
Probably. Yeah. I think that's in my notes. Look,
you were in your smart guy glasses.
Kyle, with air quotes, said this.
Yeah.
But...
so many air quotes.
Where the industry is going now, especially in regards to the movies, that's where all the money is really being made. Because, well, Merc, you're old. You remember how comic books used to mass produce, like, how many copies of Spider-Man number one, X-Men number one?
Exactly.
Nothing reaches those print runs anymore.
No. Like, 91
really,
era, where it was just millions.
And yeah. That is why Marvel went bankrupt in the 90s. Because it was, like, it just tanked. And it's not like it's recovered, but it's never gone to that level. And it probably never will again.
No, yeah. It's that was during the speculatory boom,
where
they're mass producing things with special collector's issue, ooh, hologram cover, ooh, foily.
Yeah.
There's
I've got all my Heroes Reborn number ones.
That could never really be considered like a natural growth, though.
No, it was base. That's why the bottom dropped out.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where sort of like that's kind of an anomaly.
It was a weird anomaly that just blew up, and it at the same time it did garner and grab a lot of fans that way.
Yeah.
And did expand the market, but then it imploded after.
The best thing was they were really putting out their best material at the time, so everyone stuck around.
Oh yeah, because Wolverine was in everything. You didn't want to miss that. I'm glad they killed him. There, I said it. I'm glad. I hope he stays dead.
Here's the thing. How did
I'm glad you're dead.
Do we know how well that? How well the death of Wolverine? It probably sold great. I'm sure it did.
It sold amazingly.
How many people really cared about it though?
From a retailer's perspective. You had people coming in who had never really read Wolverine, but because of the nature of the event, they got on board.
Okay.
And I had multiple people come in and say, this comic is better than it has any right to be.
Really?
And the best way to look at it is...
And then they threw it on the ground and said, fuck you, Todd!
Yeah.
That's all your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me your 577. Yeah,
exactly. It's better than it ought to be! Damn it all!
Well... Yeah. Well, this was also coming off of Marvel's last big thing, which was Original Sin, which
is super good.
People were very disappointed. Very disappointed. People I want my money back. And I'm like, you broke it, you bought it, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, we did talk about events last time, and it was... I wasn't as disappointed with Original Sin as I was with Age of Ultron.
But
it was super bad.
Yeah, it was super bad.
Bad time. I did not
hate Original Sin.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't read Original Sin.
I hated Age of Ultron. And I think the rage just kind of washed over, like...
What about Infinity?
What about... Did that happen? I don't even know what happened.
Oh, it happens. It happens.
It happened. We are actually... It was really long-windy and artsy and...
Yeah.
Just wasn't really on board for Infinity.
We're definitely at the point where we're forgetting that mega events even happened, really. Because, like, so many of them have, like... Again, they don't have any impact, really. Yeah. Like, who cares?
Probably turn my phone on.
This is some pro stuff right here. We got a microphone on boxes. We're doing good.
This is how Howard Stern started, boys. When did the strippers show up? And the thing you have to look at with the events... What they do, like, regardless of how people felt about Death of Wolverine, Age of Ultron, Infinity, Original Sin, or even the new 52 reboot, there's always a spike in product being moved when that stuff happens.
Right. But is it one that's going up all the time, or is it like a steady sort of spike?
It goes up. The hype for these events, like the Death of Wolverine was probably the big thing since the last big thing, which was when Peter Parker died. Which didn't really happen.
No.
But you do get people buying these books who would not buy the books regularly. And so that's where the big two especially come in, where everything is event-driven now in the books. Because they do want people picking these things up. They're not great.
Well, and the thing, I think I brought it up last time, was that having worked for other companies that look at it and go, okay, what was our sales for, what are our best points of sales? Was this, this, and this? Oh, they were all events. So let's just do events. That's the business approach. Well, if that works, do it more.
Well,
and you always want to do more and more and more. But at the same time, this is part of what we talked about was art meets commerce. And
it's
how do the two meld properly, and how does one lose when one gains, and vice versa, or...
My question, again, because we brought up the 90s, but at what point does, you know, everything's an event bottom out the same way that, look at all these fancy covers that are all going to be collector's items, bottom out in the same way, you know what I mean? Like, when does it get to the point where it's like, you know, eventually people are going to catch on.
This summer.
Yeah.
This summer, with Marvel bringing back every single event that they've ever done to combine into one huge, mega, massive,
Megazord
event.
Let's make up a map so it looks like the intro screen to Primal Rage.
Exactly.
Who will survive Earth?
It's
with a U.
This is totally based on, hey, all this stuff sold really well before.
Yeah.
Let's just bring it on back. Let's just, come on, tweak it a little bit. Now have them all fighting each other. Age of Ultron? Meet Marvel Zombies.
We got the young market because we got them from the movies. Now we're going to get the older market because we're going to reinvent the old and events that they love.
Do they have the young market, though? I mean, they have them in the movies.
I'm just making
Well, here's interesting to touch on what Merck just said about art meeting commerce. Because these events do so well, it does allow them to start looking at demographics that they are not historically known for getting. Marvel, in the last year, has released Ms. Marvel, which is one of the most brilliant books written out there right now.
I'm just going to applaud it briefly because I love that comic.
And Batgirl has gone a huge shakeup. And what they're basically doing is going after the demographic of women who are looking to read comic books because it's so predominant in culture right now.
Right.
But they want something to read that they're going to relate to. And the reason why I know Ms. Marvel...
not just Cheryl Blossom.
Exactly. Cheryl Blossom or Cherry Pop-Tart or...
Oh, boy.
That's an underground comic book.
Oh, I was just super hungry. Cool.
Gross.
Well, I got it on audio, so now I can look it up later.
But the events are all planned like years in advance. So... it allows them, because they are selling the events, let's take chances on these things, which has done really well for them. Both Batgirl and Ms. Marvel, and Gotham Academy as well,
yeah,
really are good because they're not specifically for girls. Like, yeah, they are just good comics.
I agree and I disagree. I don't think it's because of the events that it allows them to do that. If they write those stories, those people will read them. Miss Marvel, the people that like Miss Marvel will go to Miss Marvel, and those do well, not because of the events.
Miss Marvel exists because of an event. She's an Inhuman.
That's true.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Well, but that's the storyline, not the actual business
they
decision.
They could have found any reason, any origin for her if they wanted to. I mean, like, you have a point in that, they could just put that content out there and hopefully they...
And that's where I say, that's where the business meets commerce things. You reverse it.
Sure.
You write good stories. People will show up.
I understand the thinking.
And they will come.
I get you, but I understand the thinking at the same time of like, you make a big deal out of an event that you can lead into something that you really want to get the push. You know, if their end result is they want Ms. Marvel to be a big thing, and they're sort of like using the momentum of that to sort of build up to that, I can sort of get their...
Well, but that would be linking her to the event.
And they all...
Yeah.
But
they have to. That's where a lot of the side ones, like you were saying, they're almost... Not separate continuity, but they're separate storylines.
It's almost a separate continuity.
Yeah.
Like, all the Marvel Now stuff, it was like Magneto before it got dragged into Axis was a great book.
Yeah.
Moon Knight for its first 6 issues was really good. It's not found its place again yet.
I really like the first, like, 5 issues of Loki, and it came back, and it's all tied into Axis, and I'm kind of like, I don't really like this as much as I did before Axis kicked in, so, you know, yeah.
Well, you get a lot of people, you get burnt out.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere now. Like, you get days when they're releasing 6 movie titles, and we have a movie coming out next year, Age of Ultron, but people are already talking about everything beyond that point already.
Right.
Man, I am so sick of hearing about Age of Ultron. Tell me more about Black Panther.
That actually leads me to another thing that I don't know if we didn't touch on it. I was going to bring it up last time, and we didn't really get to it. Was just the idea of the market and the audience, like you're saying, like looking so far ahead that when you look at the comics now, like a lot of the whatever pages and whatever I follow on Facebook and then they're and like comic book resources, whenever they're posting, hey, here are the previews right now from February and March. And I'm like, what? Why would I want to read that?
Well, there was a really interesting one. The previews came out from Diamond right along the time when they were putting out the new Captain America that supposedly nobody knew who it was going to be.
Yeah.
On one page, they had the cover image where it was like the blank version of Captain America.
Who is the new Captain America?
2 pages before that in previews was Axis number 2, which had Falcon in the Captain America uniform. So it kind of defeats the entire purpose of that.
Why does this silhouette have wings? Mm-hmm. Who could it be? Bucky again.
Mockingbird got wings.
Or Captain America's son, the new Nomad.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I did read that one. Just discovered. I didn't know that character even existed.
I hadn't read any of Remender's run, but I picked up the first, the new Captain America. I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done. You can't really go wrong with imminent art, though. But
yeah, it was a good book. It's
you don't look so.
Well, it was a good book. The thing is, it's because they released this.
Up in my mouth a little bit.
Here's what they did. It's like, okay, we're gonna make the Falcon Sam Wilson Captain America. Yeah, we're gonna put him in an event where he's a bad guy right off the hop and says, "I'm gonna kill the Red Skull." He straight up says he's gonna kill the Red Skull.
That's some timing.
So it's is it the best use of the character launching one in the middle of one of these events?
Right.
It just shows that you know that this is not a long term thing, and with what they have on the horizon, it's everything's gonna be 6 months basically before it all gets shoved down the toilet again.
Well, how long was Bucky Cap for? Was that like that? Felt like 2 years,
roughly around that time. Yeah.
That's a good chunk of time.
And I think that's cool. I'm like, that. If you're going to do that, don't just do it for here's this replacement character for 5 minutes and then jump off. Like, you know what? Explore that for a while. We've seen, like, somebody like Captain America, we've seen you for 50 years. Or 75 years, really. Like,
the thing
I don't
is,
need
though,
to see, like, every aspect of that. Like, do 2 years with that character and explore it.
But again, it's you know, and that's great. And then there was a time, I think, where maybe you could maybe get away with doing that a little bit longer. Now, every 2 or 3 years...
Yeah.
You have, you know, or less, considering shared universe, you have, like, a movie featuring that version of the character, and they always want to capitalize on that. So, funny how, I mean? They always seem to end that little experiment right around the time of major movies coming out, so they can, you know, try to get fresh eyes.
One of the worst casualties of that was Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which got replaced with Avengers Assemble, which I tried watching. And I actually
wanted to rage punch
my computer screen
because
you had something really, really good. Yeah, let's just shit all over that.
What if they were all kind of jerks?
Different reasoning, but again, Spectacular Spider-Man.
Not the heroes being jerks to each other? That doesn't happen.
No way.
One thing, I do like how Tony Stark is a full-on alcoholic again. That's some good times right there. He's such a prick.
Kids' cartoons.
Yeah, he's got a problem.
Where's the beer?
Yeah.
It is
as we pull out the beer. Yeah.
It is interesting though that it is interesting though that you have Tony Stark, who is like the face of the Marvel movie franchise.
Yeah.
That they are going in this direction with his character.
Right.
Like they're essentially making him unlikable.
Yeah. That's
for now. Yeah.
Let's go.
It is. Sorry.
Bottle number 2 of Skull Rock Stout. Brought to you by our sponsors at Nowhere.
Brought to you by my sponsor, Jerry. Oh, right. God, I should probably call Jerry.
Jerry, I'm drinking again.
Are you recording?
Yes.
Fantastic.
You've got to remove yourself from this situation. I'll start back on step one tomorrow. Don't worry, Jerry. Everything's fine.
Oh, I mean, I'll wake up on the steps again.
It happens.
I'm gold, Jerry. I'm gold.
All right.
Why? Topical humor.
Yeah.
Sitcom that went off the air 16 years ago.
I guess we should cut all that, but it was fun.
What? Cut nothing.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Yeah.
And the reason why they do all these new revamps is because they see spikes. Like, here's the thing. New 52... is not the best choice that they did.
But they saw the sales spike.
You don't say.
And now, a lot of those earlier issues, due to the new speculatory market that exists, have all kind of consistently gone up in value. New 52 Batman number 1, Superman number 1 Action, they have gone up to about between like $25 to $40 books.
Do you think, though, that the speculation currently is which one of these changes is actually going to stick? Or, like, what is the speculation at this point?
The speculation right now is who gets announced in the movies or TV shows.
Oh, okay. Right.
Like, you have a character who was pretty much obtuse in Rocket Raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
He's back in a big way. That book that he showed up in the Hulk has gone up in value.
Oh.
Based upon...
You mean his first appearance?
Yeah.
Yeah, well yeah.
His second appearance, technically.
Yeah, yeah.
But first in comic book form. That's gone up because people now are familiar... A wider range of people are familiar with this character, so they start tracking down first appearances of these characters.
Right.
Like, Ms. Marvel, for example, her first cameo was at the end of the Captain Marvel series previous to the new one. That book has kind of seen a slight rise, and as soon as they announce her as a movie character... both first print number one of that and that issue where she cameos will go up.
And that's understandable, and I think that's
yeah.
that's how it goes, and that's always, it, always how it has kind of gone.
The reason well, I guess like, it was a dumb question.
No. Yeah. I know, because yeah. the way you were kind of phrasing that, I was thinking, well, that's as if the company was, oh, I'm seeing that, so we're going to do this to bump up the price. But really, Marvel sees none of that speculative price. Well,
no, they don't.
That
no.
It really is almost irrelevant. But they it's irrelevant to them.
They get to sell more merchandise, though.
It's the merchandise side. Yeah, yeah, but then that's a totally different thing.
How many like how just, many versions of Dancing Groot are you yeah. know going to be available now? Like a bunch of them, and it's like
coming this December to Comics Plus.
There it is.
There's our sponsor, right? Yeah. There, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, like
when, I got the keys. We'll go right now.
This time last year, how much Groot merchandise did you get? None. But yeah. Even like that Deadpool's first appearance or something, even like when that test footage got leaked, didn't that like lead to more people getting interested in finding that? I thought I saw there was some sort of a boost in that online.
And then they were just immediately disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Deadpool.
It's been announced though that it's.
He's always been popular.
Doing the movie now.
But I mean.
But I feel like the test footage, like, I remember reading some stories or something where, yeah, it was, yeah. you know, even those went up in price a little bit just based on freaking test footage being leaked online.
X-Force. I might be wrong. X-Force number 2. Prime example of that.
Yeah.
That was a book that sat in the dollar bins forever. It's Deadpool's second official appearance.
Right.
That's gone from being a back dollar issue to people paying upwards of $25 for
really? It. Was that second?
Yeah.
Because it was, what, like, 98?
New Mutants 98 was his first. Was his first,
yeah.
Then
and he wasn't in for a couple, and then it switches to X-Force.
Force.
And,
right.
Okay.
And that's, yeah, and that's recent.
Yeah. That just again, over, the, that, over just, the last couple of months that yeah. happened.
Wow. It's kind of amazing where something even like that, you know, just like a video went online is able to sort of have that kind of sway over like speculatory pricing. It's just, yeah, it's interesting that we're at that point.
And it's interesting more so for the independents, like Image. Image is actually one of those companies that benefits from speculatory pricing because they have low print runs
right.
of a lot of their stuff.
Right.
Like Witches came out just recently. Its first print run sold right out.
Yeah, I was hearing that. It was like they've hit...
Glad I picked
like,
that up.
There's like Walking Dead and Witches.
Yeah.
And yeah. The highest sales.
And now there has been a second print of Witches number one, but it's low. So this is a case where the second print is going to probably be rarer than the first print, so that's going to increase its value. And Image and...
That's stupid, Bri.
Yeah, picked up the wrong one.
But that's more of an immediate, here's the sale, and there's a reaction, and then right. we're going to do a second printing, rather than here's an appearance, then it's 5-10 years down the road, and they have like a movie thing, and then that reflects back on to 10 years. You're not going to do a second printing then, obviously. Then it becomes a trade thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And then that's another thing, is the whole trade market that comes off of that. That's, right. Oh, we're going to... Guardians of the Galaxy. We're gonna here's your Guardians of the Galaxy. The movie's coming out, and here's the trade of
yeah.
this, and then the early stuff, the Star Lord collection.
Was that like an essential collection or something like that?
Yeah.
Which essential Star Lord became no, became it became
was
something.
It black and white essential?
Yeah.
Oh, was
yeah.
it? No, I didn't realize it was essential. I thought there was a difference.
Which is it's kind of interesting. Who would have ever pitched that one before that movie?
Yeah, and that Star Lord has nothing to
I
do.
I know.
He has as much to do with Guardians of the Galaxy as the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that the one where his like ship is sentient and loves him or something? Like this?
Yeah, no, that's where he's an astronaut.
Yeah.
And he kills the other guy to get yeah. to be on the ship. And like, yeah, that's Star Lord.
That's
good job.
You touched upon you've had some theories. We'd mentioned reboots a little bit. You're saying in about how many months that everything's gonna what are you?
Well, it's not me. It's Hickman.
It's Hickman.
In 6 months, time runs out.
Yeah.
Honestly, at this point, I think a reboot is fine for both of the big two.
Yeah.
But what do you mean by reboot? Do you mean like hard reboot that like 52 did and.
Well, 52 didn't even do a hard reboot, really.
Well, really.
It mostly did.
You're reinventing the characters to a certain extent.
Well,
ignoring what
came
before.
It was really big, except for the two most successful books at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
No, well, we keep all right. of that, though.
Yeah.
That just all happened in 5 years.
As opposed to, like...
Batman, you're really bad at this.
Like, reboot and go back, like, a couple years, or, like, kind of reset something, or...
Well, I think that they've both gotten a little bit too... I think, I believe that DC has always planned what they're up to now with Convergence, based upon everything that happened pre-New 52, based upon the stuff that happened in Flashpoint, and based upon the stuff that happened out of Flashpoint that's now canon in the New 52. Okay. Like, Earth 2 has always been kind of a book where you see the pieces being put into play on the board. Darkseid has been capturing different versions of Superman. He made his own Bizarro Superman, all to conquer Earth 2, his first arc.
Sex toy Superman.
He did have a sex toy Superman. It wasn't Heat Vision, it was Dildo Vision. It took a long time.
Love me! Love me!
Dasaad's a mad scientist!
Dasaad. Oh boy. Dasaad, make him bigger!
But with Forever Evil, they kind of showed that Darkseid or some force had wiped out their world, which turned out to be the Anti-Monitor, which is pretty much, when you see the Anti-Monitor, some type of crisis has to happen.
This time it's much quicker than usual.
I would
argue just based on personal taste by necessity, but, you know, if they end up sort of trying to, you know, I'm very interested in all of those ones starring the pre-New 52 people. Like, they had that book with, like, Tim Drake, Red Robin, and, like, Cassandra Cain, and, like, Stephanie Brown, Batgirl, that was in the solicited recently. And I was like, oh, I like them. I want to read that. Go figure, right? So, I mean, again, do you think that there's how much option, I mean, how possible is it that some of that's going to stick around after?
At this point, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to keep. But they are bringing back a lot of fan-favorite versions of a lot of characters. Barbara Gordon Oracle is going to marry Dick Grayson.
Right, exactly. And that's like, hey.
By Dick Grayson, you mean Nightwing.
Yes.
Not just Dick Grayson.
Grayson. Who works for Spiral.
Yeah.
With a Y?
Yeah. It's comic books.
Yeah.
However, that book's actually pretty good. Sad to see get wiped out. And in the next issue, I think he fights Midnighter.
What?
Yeah, so you
just sold me Grayson.
Yeah. In the first issue, they had a little bit of a scuffle.
Shit.
Midnighter has this interior thought bubble like, wow, he has some skills. Yeah, he has some skills. Because he was actually Batman. Not just like you, stupid fucking.
Now to be fair, I like, you know, pre-New 52 Midnighter a lot more than New 52 Midnighter, which is like
Chin Spike Midnighter.
I stayed on that book as long as I could, and that was like, I want to say 8 or 9 issues. I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah,
you got me real tired, Midnighter. Real tired.
You make me want to give up inside.
Yeah.
But both of them need to clean up a lot of stuff. And you know what? A reboot isn't a bad thing. You get some really great stuff. Like, right now, Batman is a really good read.
And it's a great time. A reboot is a great time to just jump off all books.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean that jokingly. It sounds like a joke, but it's like, that's a good time to be like, okay, you know, I'm done with this. I can check out this new stuff now.
Well, what happens is people have a hard time letting go of books. Because you, as a comic book person, you're in it for,
you want to be in for the long haul.
You get sucked into what happens next.
Yeah.
Maybe this will get better. Maybe they'll explain this.
Because there's always like a couple of issues that are shit.
Yes.
And in every run, pretty much. And then you get to the show, it'll get better in a couple of issues. Yeah. Oh, maybe a couple more. Right. And then you realize, I've been saying that for 15 issues.
And then sometimes it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I remember when I first completed...
And then sometimes they just get canceled.
Sometimes Scott Lobdell is still on that goddamn book.
Yeah.
Can you try as hard as you can?
Well, I dropped all X-Men books right around the time when they did Age of Apocalypse.
Really?
Just, I looked at that, and I was really enjoying the X-Men books up to that time.
Yeah.
Because they had some great stories.
Absolutely agree. I did Age of Apocalypse, and I pretty much dropped it right after that.
Yeah, I just saw it, and for me, I was like, okay, well, I liked what they were doing up to this point. Now they're just going to change everything. This is a time for me to stop reading.
Yeah.
I actually stopped collecting comics. That's the point where I maxed it completely, and it was like almost 10 years later.
That's exactly the same thing for me. I came back, I picked up issue 4 of Kingdom Come. And reading that book reminded me why I like comic books so much.
Sure.
Because you can tell epic stories, and that's what happens. You always hope. Maybe this issue is going to be that issue that is going to stand out and matter in the larger continuity of things, or just be one that you really, really like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my favorite comic book of all time is Marvel 2-in-1 Annual, where the champion, one of the Guardians of the Universe, shows up to beat the shit
out of the thing.
With the thing on the cover, with his boxing gloves.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I cried reading that book every time when I was like... Like, last week I cried reading it. But that was one of the first ones that had a carryover.
I was drunk in the corner, naked.
Yeah.
Nutella.
As happens. Yeah, happens.
Yeah. I just want to pull out a copy just out of nowhere and just see you start to tear up.
Well, I cry reading comics all the time, dude.
Sure.
All the time.
Effective, I mean, good storytelling, man. That should do that.
I cried at when they killed Archie.
Yeah.
What was
that? It was...
It was sad.
Took a bullet.
He did, for a friend.
Who's a true hero.
He was.
He's a patriot.
He was.
I just used that word.
Wait, this is an audio medium.
Audio podcast. Audio.
But that also, like,
well, I was Archie doing a jack-off motion.
I'm a patriot.
I was definitely saluting, but that's fine.
Saluting with my trousers.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
But sorry, that's another thing that, look at what Archie did. Like, now, to get people to buy the books, you need these things to happen that are supposed to matter. We know that they don't.
Right.
But you have such a wider swath of people now that are interested in these characters off of what they hear in the news.
Yeah. When you have stories getting coverage in, like, just crazy mainstream coverage. Like, ridiculous. They're getting mentions on, like, late night, you know, talk shows, and they're, like, in, like, USA Today, and, like... legitimate news sources are talking about, like, you know, whatever, who's dying this week.
Well, with Death of Archie, the Chronicle Journal did a story.
Yeah.
That day, we had people calling, mostly middle-aged women, for some reason, asking if we had copies of that book.
Hmm.
Because it was... Everybody's read an Archie comic.
Yeah.
And when you hear that they're going to kill off that character, right away people get interested.
Right.
And...
I think I mentioned this when that happened, that my mother-in-law was livid.
She was
just... And I'm trying to explain to her the whole idea of, like, multiple continuity thing. And, like, it's not really what, like... You know, they're doing that storyline. But there's also Archie as well. And there's, like, the... And it just wasn't...
Just have a seat. Let me explain the multiverse.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a whiteboard.
Yeah.
This is Earth Prime.
I'm going to put a pot of coffee on. We're gonna be here a while.
Ask me a Prime. What?
Yeah.
So
then there was a kid who had a temper tantrum and started punching on reality.
Yeah.
Now that changed everything.
Punching the whiteboard.
Why are you drawing Archie in the anti-monitor? What?
It's all connected.
Archie is the anti-monitor.
If he can meet the Punisher, he can do anything.
And kiss.
And Predator.
And kiss.
And
Ninja
Turtles. Yeah, Archie is meeting Predator.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And kiss the Punisher.
Nope. Okay.
Nope.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
I'll put Doom in that one.
Good.
Yes.
Because I want to talk.
Oh, he lays.
Yeah. I want to talk about Dr. Doom for a minute.
Oh, yes.
I am so.
Let's get into this.
So. Movie.
Give us your theory.
First of all, I'll say this, that fuck Fox with what they're doing with Doctor Doom, because what I'm about to say is probably not going to happen, because Marvel Disney doesn't want to promote anything that they don't own.
Right.
Which is a shame.
Which is dumb, too.
Yeah.
Get ready for a Todd rant.
It doesn't make any sense.
You don't
sabotage your own character in order to, like, affect one other single thing of another whole.
Well, it's basically like this. Say there's these kids who want to have a lemonade stand. You sell them the lemons. Then you go along and you piss in the lemonade. No, nobody's going to want that. And you're not going to get your money back out of it. Even though these kids made an agreement with you that if they could sell lemonade, they would give you some of the money they make selling lemonade.
Okay.
Fuck that. I'm pissing in your lemonade.
Is Dr. Doom selling the lemons somewhere, or is he selling the lemonade?
Well, Dr. Doom is doing both.
He's pissing in his own lemonade.
He's the one pissing in the lemonade, but he's yelling, Richards! As he does it.
Richards!
Yeah, he's awesome.
He is.
Actually, I think Dr. Doom is going to be the big reveal for what's behind Axis and what actually leads into Secret Wars.
Really?
Because Hickman has said that there were clues laid out in his run on Fantastic Four one of the big things with that was the Council of Reeds, which was a bunch of Reed Richards from alternate universes who were trying to fix every problem ever in the universe. Biggest problem they had was Doctor Doom.
Speaking of sexy slaves made up of your arch enemy.
Do tell.
All the sexy Doom slaves. Yes. I thought they were sexy.
Well, I mean, a collar on it, and Kyle likes it. Hey,
you take the hood off, and it's like, oh, without the hood, I like it even more.
Shiny.
Stick a little ball gag in the mask. Yeah.
That was a huge plot thread that they left unresolved. At the end of that, you had Doctor Doom, two Infinity Gauntlets, and an army of Doctor Dooms who were sworn allegiance to him. They touched on it a bit when Doctor Doom used one of those Infinity Gauntlets, which could only work in the reality that they were from. He lost all those reality, or all the Infinity Gems. He still has one. Currently, the Illuminati has been protecting the Infinity Gems, but they were all destroyed, supposedly. Dr. Doom was the one responsible for the inversion event, because he cast the spell with Scarlet Witch.
All right.
Dr. Doom, previous to that, Namor came to him, because he has put together a cabal to wipe out all these other Earths that are... what the hell are they calling it?
Incursion.
All the worlds that are doing the incursion on this Earth. Because the rest of the Illuminati couldn't pull the trigger, Namor put together his own team with, like, Thanos, Terax, all Thanos's...
minions.
Yeah, like, yeah. Super Giants, Black Maw, whatever.
Okay.
Namor knows that he can't control them. He went to Doom for help. Doom basically said, fuck you, fish boy. Turned his back on him.
I feel like he'd put it a little classier.
But no, it's
I would have liked to see a fuck you fish boy.
And then when Magneto comes for help against Red Skull, Doom climbs on board. Right. Doom never does anything unless it's in his own interest.
You know what? Everybody climbed on board. Like, of all of the people that he could have picked out, and I understand what they're doing with Axis and the whole inversion thing, but he picked a really weird team.
It's like Magneto went and thought, who is the worst people I could put on a team together? I don't know. Carnage, Sabretooth, Mystique. Let's get them all together.
He was picking names out of a stupid white helmet.
But
with much bigger arms than usual.
With Doctor Doom, with their next big thing coming up being Secret Wars, the main antagonist during that entire thing wasn't Beyonder. It was Doom. Because going back all the way to the Silver Surfer, if Doom sees somebody has more power than him, he's going to find a way to take that from you.
Right.
So he tried that with Beyonder, took it for a while, got slapped down for his trouble, got his face all scarred back up again. So now he is leading a team of former bad guys who are now driven by their conscience against a bunch of good guys who are now totally amoral. Mm-hmm. Comics has taught us anything. At the end of the day, good guys always win. So Dr. Doom switched sides so that he could wipe out the bad guys with his bad guys who are good guys, then be able to wipe them out. Doom wins. Fuck you, Reed Richards.
Richards!
Yep.
That stupid Reed Richards.
I'm gonna...
What a prick.
Because we can't not have a tangent. Are all the heroes inverted?
No.
Like, I was gonna say, like, I read a preview of one...
No, Huck's fine. Huck's fine. Don't worry.
I also have noise in my pocket.
I set mine to vibrate.
Yeah, I really...
It's like, you just go like that, and it...
Technology!
My wife checked in to tell me that she loves me, but also Downton Abbey. So... She's watching from Downton Abbey.
Nice.
She's just mainlining it. Is Spider-Man inverted?
No.
Okay. Because, I mean, like, otherwise...
It was only the ones that were on...
Spider-Man inverted would just be really irresponsible, right? So he'd just stay in and,
he's late for stuff, but he doesn't really apologize profusely for it.
Yeah. They did a whole year of that already. Yeah. He was superior.
Yeah.
See, they say that only the characters who are on Genosha... when the spell took effect, got changed. However, they've also been saying that some people beyond that have been experiencing different takes on their own personality.
Right.
Like in Captain America and Mighty Avengers, Falcon straight up kills a guy who is now a guy who used to rob from people just to rob, but now he wants to give the money to poor people. Falcon kills him.
But Falcon's
snap.
Yeah, he was. Falcon's a bad guy now.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, like, people who weren't there on Genosha.
Yeah, it's... I don't know how they're gonna resolve that.
I thought the Falcon was Stephen Colbert now.
He is.
Oh, okay.
He is, and it's glorious.
I mean, he seems like a bad guy, but it's just a character.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom...
It was I was going through back issues today. I found the first appearance of Squirrel Girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, in one of those Marvel super...
In super yours or in the store?
In mine.
Okay. Oh, hang on to that. She's getting her own book.
I drew mustaches on all of her faces. I can't have pretty things. But I remember...
Medical relationships.
I remember reading it, and I was like, this story is horrible. Because it really was.
Yeah.
And when you have...
what was it in?
It was in, like, Marvel Super Summer Spectacular or something.
Oh, you know
it had, like,
I think I do have
the
that.
The lead-in story had, like, Abomination and the X-Men fighting a Sentinel Mark II. It was when the... Yeah, Moon Knight was on the cover, I think. Yeah, it's one of those.
Was it a fever dream?
No, I really
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
No, it was the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
And the art was very... simplistic, and her eyes looked really weird.
Yeah, they were like...
They had those, like diamonds or something.
Eyes. But just really, bulbousy, but yeah, okay.
And then she went on to defeat Thanos, Doctor Doom, Sabretooth, had sex with Wolverine a few thousand times.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice...
So, one of the interesting things that's happened recently is Scott Snyder was able to keep a secret in a comic book for longer than the issues of previews to come out. Which has to do with the Joker, which he radically altered.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah, it's...
You know what?
By the time this gets edited, it's going to be 2015.
So, next week, goddammit.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, you know what? I actually don't know this.
Really?
I don't follow the Batman books, but I did see some little blurbs
about it.
It's
one of those ones I've been meaning
to read. And I didn't click, and I never actually read it. So tell me what's going on.
Okay, in Death of the Family, Scott Snyder had the Joker come back who had lost his face and for some reason was stapling it to his own face.
Well, of course.
As you do. So at the end of that, he fell off a cliff, supposedly dead.
That's what kills him.
Isn't that the first time that Joker died? Uh-huh. In way back in what I think Batman number one, he fell off a cliff, supposedly died.
Now the first time I think he got stabbed, but he survived.
He got stabbed by a cliff.
By a cliff, yeah.
He got stabbed by Cliff Huxtable.
The button pop stabby stabby.
Episode 26. It's all trigger warning.
Okay, anyway.
Oh my god. He stabbed him with a cliff bar.
So, around that time, Zero Year was also running in Batman. They introduced a new character who was an orderly at Arkham Asylum. That character has now been revealed to be the Joker. Who's come back with a face, as you do.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, it's just a face.
You lost your face, get your face.
But he's also seems to be... The last version of the Joker wanted to get Batman kind of over to his side to get him to understand that they needed each other. This Joker seems out to just destroy Batman. Like, you don't Joker gas the Justice League to not send a message.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that he did that.
Yeah, and it was good.
That sounds badass.
Basically, it was Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Doom, where... Batman's contingency plans got to be shown how he can take down the Justice League with proper planning. He didn't get to take down Superman, really, though, which I actually liked. Scott Snyder had one of the best lines of dialogue when it comes to a Superman-Batman fight, and you have Bruce saying, it's the same answer when anybody asks who would win in a fight. No one. Like it when Batman and Superman are friends.
Yeah.
Not the weird type of friends they were in the 1950s.
When they're totally fucking.
Totally.
Oh, my
totally.
God.
Have you ever read any Old World's Finest?
Oh, weird.
Yeah. They're banging.
But there's that one issue where there was like some sort of a tree alien that's like having some sort of a weird mating thing that shows things going into things as they hold each other and cry.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I missed that episode.
It was a thing. Yeah.
For that. It was.
I'd like to see that.
But it's
we all like Apollo and Midnighter. Come on.
They have their own thing going.
Yeah.
Probably some rough sex.
Yeah.
You don't wear that much leather.
No. He's the top.
He is. Apollo, you're such the bottom.
I mean,
you kind of have to be.
Well, it's pretty much, if you imagine, consider the superpower Superman and Batman in a relationship, Batman is going to be the pitcher, which Midnighter essentially is. He's the stand-in. He's the gay Batman stand-in. Well, wearing a lot of leather.
Occasionally a chin spike.
It's all in the... What's in that utility belt? Just don't worry. It's cool.
Just, oh boy.
Yeah, I'll give you something out of the utility belt. Just
the shark repellent.
Every one of those things is full of lube.
Let me just spray this in your face.
Okay.
Nobody hears me? Just me? Okay, whatever.
This is like the worst yet.
We started so strong. What happened?
We just went nuts.
Inversion.
Inversion.
Fuck you, Dr. Doom.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Hey, it was all clearly laid out ahead of time, so it's all good.
5 years ago.
I do find it...
Yeah, really.
They had those, I feel like, again, I think we had this talk briefly in person, but just that Her Universe company has a lot of, like, you know, clothes, like, you know, comic and related clothes for women that are actually really stylish, really cool looking.
Yep.
The one thing Sherry, my wife,
My wife!
Take that, Scott Aukerman.
Suddenly became
she
Mario.
Borrows,
hey, it's my wife!
Yeah. I've got a few, like, costume hoodies, as it were, right? And she borrows those all the time. And I'm sort of, like, it doesn't seem like there's many of those, like, with women in mind. I got her a Black Widow jacket. So I ordered it online. It was, like, a sort of a hoodie thing. It was, like, a Black Widow's costume thing.
It's not a Christmas thing, right?
No, she's
okay, just make sure.
Already got it. But I was thinking, like, Captain Marvel costume, for example, would make a really cool, like, kind of a hoodie kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Like, just a costume thing.
Yes, it would.
It doesn't exist.
No.
And even if they did him in women's and men's, I would wear the hell out of that. That's a cool costume.
It is.
I would wear that every day. It was amazing.
Carol, sorry, which one?
Captain Marvel. Like, the Jamie McKelvey Captain Marvel.
He would wear a bathing suit with a leg.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I'm already doing that underneath. But, I mean, again, it's, like, one of those things that seems like such a natural thing to do, especially in a movie coming out. I mean, it probably will happen, I guess, but it just seems like, why? I mean, like, there's so many, you know, my wife cannot be alone in this where she would love more stuff like that. And it's, you know what I mean? There's a few things, but not a lot.
No, they really haven't marketed as much as they could on. Well, you know what? To be fair, we're at a time now where there's a lot more strong, independent female characters than ever before.
She-Hulk, Storm, Beyonce.
I thought Beyonce was Storm.
I thought Beyonce was She-Hulk.
Wasn't she married to Black Panther for a while and all the Fantastic Four? No, just me. All
right. Headcanon.
But
all the
I guarantee you with the movie, you're going to see a push in the marketing of Captain Marvel.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But right now, here's the thing, though. You don't see a lot of B or C tier characters with that level of...
Of marketing. And yeah, I understand that for that sort of character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but remember, it's all a business. At the end of the day, it's all a business. The fact that they've just started making comic books that appeal to beyond what your average comic book reader would be.
Which is sadly recent.
It is.
Like, really, it's only been like a handful of years, really, that that's...
And it's... Even if you look at before, I was thinking about this the other day, like, one of the most popular female-orientated books was Sandman. For a long time, but that was also a very niche market for like one certain type of girl who would follow you with could, like death.
Here's the merchandising buy. It's a set of pencils. Yes. They're very nice pencils.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, goth girls. Would you like this?
Yeah. Yes. And they did, and it was good.
Sandman brand clove cigarettes.
But hello, 90s.
Fantastic.
Ah, the Apollo. But now they do have legitimate numbers that they can go with on books like the new Batgirl, which is on its third printing now.
Right. And again, that costume, sell that as a jacket.
It's great. Sell that as a jacket. That would be a perfect one. The purplish, like, yeah. I love it. I love that costume design.
So good.
Same thing. It's very interesting that you notice the incorporation of purple in the new Batgirl costume as well as what I like to refer to as the Boba Fett of the Spider-Verse, Gwen Stacy, who is Spider-Woman.
Right, okay.
That
character... Throw a hood on it.
That character... And sneakers. And that character got sold just on visual alone.
I gotta say, the visual on that is powerful.
It's great. It's one of the best costumes ever made.
Yeah. It's And it's funny how like, I went into the store and you happened to offhandedly mention, like, hey, that, you know, first printing of that issue is, like, selling for some money on eBay. And I'm just like, I'm going to put that in a bag now.
Yeah, I gave you a bag.
Seal that up, yeah.
It's $40 to $50 online now.
Oh, shit.
And she's getting her own book. And yeah, she might be in the female-led Spider-Man movie.
Right.
Not to be confused with the Aunt May movie.
If that actually is a thing, yeah.
I hope is a mistake.
That they said that was a rumor, but you never know if that was actually like, oh, that was just a rumor, that was never real, or if they saw people making fun of it online, were like, okay, let's just pretend
rumor.
Just kidding, you guys.
Yeah.
One of the things that disappoints me a lot reading like online comment sections about, oh, Marvel.
Oh, never read online comments.
Marvel should just buy back the FF or buy back Spider-Man. That doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way the licensing rights work, they have something in development for a certain amount of years, which is why they were able to get Daredevil back, because after the
They can offer to buy back the rights.
That's always an option.
But they'd have to say yes, which would be stupid if they've got something in the works.
Yeah.
If we're going to make money from this, why would I sell this to you?
Well, Spider-Man was actually going to run out. That's why they made Amazing Spider-Man and followed it up with the second part, which honestly, it's a shame when you see these properties that are taken purely from, hey, we should probably be able to make money off of this, than from Marvel Disney, which is like, okay, our fans want something, let's give them something better than what they want.
Right.
Or occasionally, not
even just better than what they want, but occasionally better than the property's ever been in some cases. And I'm going to say very recently, has everyone seen Big Hero 6?
Yep.
No, not yet.
Whew! It
was great.
That was some damn fun. That was, I think that, again, like, this year we've seen that and, say, Guardians of the Galaxy were a bit loose as adaptations go.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, they were both, you know what I mean? Like, if they're going to take their cues from those going forward in even the comics, probably a good call. Because those were so well realized in a way that, you know, I feel like they've arrived fully formed in a way where I guess you can do easier in a movie if it's based on stuff where you can take the best aspects and you can change things as you want. But, man, like, those two definitely captured something.
See, it comes down to exactly what is this? It's a fictional character. If you have the right creative forces behind it, you can create something pretty great.
Yeah.
Like, not many people thought Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be as great as it turned out.
I think the closer it got, the more everyone felt, okay, this is going to be amazing.
When it was first announced, I was like, what? That's an odd choice. That's a really obscure and whatever choice. And then it was very shortly after, just the start to kind of build. And it's just because, and we've talked a little bit about this, that it's because you've got no major strings attached. You can do whatever you want. You have enough freedom and reign to just be like, I can write this and have fun and not be worried about, does that fit with that continuity and everybody's preconception of what this character should be? You're like, fuck it, let's just write a really good movie.
Let's just write a sci-fi epic that happens to have these characters.
Yeah, totally.
And it worked. And one thing that I feel is kind of lost is the great goodwill Marvel Disney had coming out of Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
If Guardians of the Galaxy would have came out after Thor 2, which it's not a bad
movie. More like Snore 2.
Yeah!
Yeah, I'm the first person to make that joke. Woo!
But it wasn't,
check Twitter.
It wasn't the best of the Marvel movies. It just seemed like Iron Man 2, where it was a placeholder.
Yes, yeah.
But Captain America Winter Soldier changed the dynamic, and everybody was talking about that movie nonstop. Yeah. That was the thing. Have you seen it? During that time, I saw what they were doing with Guardians through the trailers and everything, and I just knew. I'm like, this is a movie that's going to make so much money.
Yeah.
Not based on that it's a comic property, but kids are going to want to see it over and over again. Kids are going to go see it on birthday parties. Kids are going to drag their parents who are hungover and not really to talk to them on a Sunday afternoon and sit in the theater and watch
Guardians. And it's not even kids.
Were you there
with
me?
That was like a that was me dragging you.
It was not even just kids.
Like that was written to appeal to, it could totally, like a Star Wars could appeal to kids.
Absolutely.
And appeal to adults. And they had like
people who are kids at heart.
Exactly.
And I would say that, you know, I mean, it took some liberties with characters to a certain degree, but I feel like, you know, overall, I mean, there's like a Star-Lord where that character's kind of just like all over the place and you can sort of reinvent
Here's
it
the
if
thing.
You want.
Name one story arc Guardians of the Galaxy throughout their entire time that mattered.
But I mean, like, look at, like, Rocket and Groot, they were perfect.
Oh, yeah.
You could not
Operation
have gotten
Galactic
any more
Storm.
Right.
Yeah.
Even for longtime fans, you could
that
not
is,
have
That is
happier.
An underrated
like,
classic.
Yeah,
exactly.
And again, domestically anyway, Guardians still the biggest movie of the year, right?
Yes.
Like, amazing.
Well, it's interesting because they thought Interstellar would top it. Doesn't look like that's going to happen.
No.
The fact that Big Hero 6 has retained a large portion of their audience from last week.
It beat it in the first week.
This just opens up so many new avenues for Marvel Disney properties.
Yeah.
Like, who wouldn't want to see a Big Hero 6 Incredibles crossover movie?
I would like to see anything Incredibles
movie. They need to make Incredibles 2.
That's why don't they just buy back the Fantastic Four and then they can have Fantastic Four Incredibles?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I know why they can't, because we've got to watch some other garbage Fantastic Four movie that no one likes.
I had such high hopes for this
Hey,
movie.
Hey, man.
I'm still holding out.
The world wants Doctor Doom to be a gamer.
Well,
that's what they want.
I liked
They wanted to be hashtagging some shit. That's what they want.
You're on the wrong side of history.
But yeah. I'm also... I like the Fantastic Four.
Love them.
I read The Thing is probably my favorite character.
You know what? I got to agree with you there. The Thing is such an incredibly good character, but he's often... I find he works the best in comics on his own.
Yep.
In those weird little, like the Marvel 2-in-1 things. Those were the best reads. They were just
so
much fun. And just because it's like a one-off thing for each bit. And it was fun, and he had this gruff character-esque sort of thing, and I just don't know if you can really translate that properly to a movie with involving the Fantastic Four, because every time you got to do the fucking origin again, and you know what? I don't care how. Just give them the powers and go with it.
And don't say that you're treating the powers like they're disabilities.
Yeah.
I feel that the actors have been mouthing off a little bit too much to this, especially the guy for Doctor Doom, like... I saw what he said. Maybe you have to understand it in context, but it's the lo-fi approach to Doctor Doom.
Like lo-fi, lo-fi, but also like gritty.
Lo-fi?
Or something. Lo-fi.
Yeah.
Lo-fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he hates Richard so much. Richard's like, hey, you want to check the fly out?
Richards!
Yeah. He's got a finger sticking through. I got you!
Finger of Doom!
Little laser.
Valeria was at the party. Like his old Valeria, not the kid Valeria. That would be disturbing.
It's disturbing enough that she went and lived with Dr. Doom for like 6 months.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's like, the Reed and Sue are just like, yeah, okay. There's this guy's tried to murder us ever since we've known him. Let's let our youngest child, who is a girl, go live with him.
It's
for a
friendly,
while.
Fun rivalry.
I mean, it's a technicality, but it's her godfather, which means legally we have to allow this. Oh, wait, we don't?
That's not what a godfather does?
Oh, wait, we don't have to just let our 3-year-old daughter do whatever she wants to do?
But
oh,
she's real smart. She's real smart.
Real smart.
That wasn't me, it was a Doombot. That wasn't me, it was a Thanos clone. That wasn't me, it was a Sabretooth clone. One thing you have to love about Marvel, we take our high-tier villains, make them act like idiots. That wasn't them.
Unless they get their ass kicked by Squirrel Girl, in which case it was totally them.
That was not them.
It was that one, that's canon.
I'm gonna write a one-page comic of Squirrel Girl getting killed by, like, just some sea villain.
Yeah.
Pelter. Paste pot tea.
Yeah. Trapster?
Trapster, yeah.
Trapster. That's way more. That's way better. Okay, here's a question. And you're in retail, you know, businessing.
Us
as fans. And again, we can cut this if this is stupid, which it probably is. But
what's your favorite color?
Yeah. A year from now, what do you think we're looking at in the industry in general?
Like story wise, or just
everything? But story wise, sure. Yeah, let's go with that.
A year.
Well, you've
from
got
now.
Your
sure. That's
Dr.
what I
meant.
Sure, that's the ticket.
Theory.
You got your Doctor Doom theory.
Well, that only takes us up to the events of spring and summer. September is usually a big month when they start rolling out their big things again. Sorry. The big blunts, yeah.
Let's roll them.
A year from now, I probably see a lot of comic books of big names on both sides, somewhere around issue 5 or 6. I see talk of what the next big event is. I see a strong push.
That's a fair Marvel, bet, I think.
I see a strong push in Marvel for Black Panther, Captain Marvel. I think the Inhumans are going to replace the mutants as the top tier characters who just have powers.
They are trying to push that.
DC, I see a lot of Superman, Batman stuff along with the reconfiguration of the Justice League to kind of fall in line with what they're doing for the movies.
So basically, again, the tail wagging the... Yeah.
It's a business, right? Like, right. They know that if you can capitalize on what people are interested in now, that will get you to tomorrow.
Here's a question. Right. Do you think that this summer stuff with Marvel is going to... And this is a question for every one of us, one by one, is going to lead to a new 52-style reboot?
I'll go last.
What do you think?
Nah.
I do not think so. I think they're going to... They're gonna do a reboot of sorts, but I think it's gonna be a time thing.
Yeah. Huh? I mean, I agree. I think it's gonna be... I mean, I feel like they're going to do a reboot of sorts because they have some disparate elements.
They'll do something soft, or they'll do something, you know, like, oh, what happened in the missing year, or something like that, but it's not gonna be, let's all jump back to zero.
Sure.
I don't think Marvel's ever gonna...
They're gonna tease it. And they have been teasing it.
All those
very pieces. Aggressively, but I think Marvel's pretty good at being like, haha, we're going to do this.
Yeah, they're very good at, like, let's left hand, they've right done hand it doing kind of thing.
Just hey, this is going to be entertaining. Haha, no, it's not.
Original Sin's going to matter.
Fuck you, kids. Give us your money.
We've seen them do that fake out, like, how many, as we said in previous episodes, with, like, the Ultimate line.
Yeah.
And they're doing it again now, saying it ends. That one, I could see them sort of, like, combining that in a way to bring Miles into the mainstream continuity.
He is going to be... Ultimate Universe is coming to an end. That's been pretty much...
I think that, Miles is not. That seems like almost a minor part to me.
Miles isn't going anywhere. Yeah. At least not for a while.
Well, he's the only character that matters in that universe.
It's true.
But I really like Kitty Pryde in her white outfit.
Yeah, I do too.
Yes.
I like Black Widow, who's Peter Parker's female clone, who came out as a lesbian, and it just kind of went under the radar. Like, nobody cared. So
Black Widow in Ultimate is Jessica Drew, who is Spider-Man's clone, and so she's Ben Reilly and Spider-Woman and Black Widow.
But Black Widow is a name that's been used by 2 or 3 people in the Ultimate Universe at this point.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Like, when she became Black Widow, no one else, like, I'm Black Widow. Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, the other one's dead? Yeah, take it.
I think Marvel is going to reset some things.
Yeah.
I believe...
But what do you mean by reset?
I believe that we'll see Mary Jane Watson married Peter Parker.
Again?
You mean that all of a sudden we'll go back to that point?
Yes. Please. I think the reboot that they're doing is going to kind of... Like,
they're
going to
invert
space-time at the end of Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Then they also pulled in the past X-Men into the present. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been messing around with all that crap for so long that
about it so much in Guardians of the Galaxy, like Star-Lord and that he's like, I sense there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Talking to Thanos about it, and he's like, yeah, it's fucked.
I honestly see an Infinity Gauntlet being used to reset to a certain point before things start to go off the rails.
That'll be, what, 1981?
88, 89.
Sure. I mean, if you could have, like, say, you reset it to the point where, like, you know, Peter and Mary Jane for that, or, like, newlyweds.
Not everybody should be an Avenger. The Avengers, used to only be 6 of them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where they become too unwieldy for everything.
Mm. Here's my ideal for that. You brought up that because they had that piece of art that was, like, Renew Your Vows, and it had Peter and MJ and, like, little... Mayday Parker.
That's not Mayday. She's not a redhead.
Okay, then that's the one that was in
the one that Norman Osborn sold after he impregnated Gwen Stacy.
Who the hell?
Which needs to get the hell out of college.
Yeah, let's just erase that again. If you can erase all the things that did not go over well, that's fine. But
keep his hair.
Although
keep
I'm not a
hair.
Big fan of erasing stuff. I hate that. That's the lazy man's writer.
Sure.
That you erase stuff. You know what? You can fucking write and fix something. You can ignore certain things and just keep going.
This idea is...
I don't know, Merc, sometimes you have to look at it like, hey, look at this big steaming pile of shit lit on fire that smells like air burning.
Bad, but...
I don't think you can fix some of this stuff. This one, in a way, it's
erasing in a way, yes, but at the same time, some stuff got erased to get to where we are now, in a way. Like, the marriage got erased, basically, to get to where we are now. So it's sort of like, he just went to a previous backup and just moved on.
Well, that's what I'm kind of hoping, is that it's not going to be, like, an erase reboot or too much wiped out. But you know what? Like, just some sort of, like, some shifting in time. Maybe it's not going to be an even thing. Maybe it's, like, Spider-Man goes to this point, but, you know, the Avengers go to this point, and it's... And that becomes a storyline factor, that it's like, what's going on? Like, who are you? Why are you suddenly younger and I'm not? And just weird things like that. Like, you could, it doesn't have to be a, let's go to 1988 and start there.
Oh, no, not necessarily. They're not going to do that. But here's one thing I'll point to. In Hickman's run on Fantastic Four, there was a point where the Richards kids had a conversation about, remember the time that the universe restarted?
Yeah.
Like, they actually had that conversation. Right. And Franklin Richards is supposedly, like, God, because he's more powerful than everybody else, but never uses his powers. Right. Yeah, comic books.
Comic books, man. Again, I promise, once I'm done this sentence, I'm off the topic of Spider-Man, but the idea of, say, a married Peter Parker and a teenage single Miles Morales existing in the same universe, both being Spider-Man... They both have that name. You have, like, a Peter, the Amazing Spider-Man, and then you have a Miles Morales Spider-Man comic.
Roommates!
Maybe you also have a Spider-Man ongoing, where they're teaming up on stuff. And just, you know what? Let both of those worlds exist. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let both of those things exist. Let Miles represent the 21st century, the young aspect they're going for, and let Peter Parker age.
Yes.
I have no problem with having two, and I don't even see what the question is to not have that.
There's the best Spider-Man out there right now isn't even really Peter Parker.
Oh, here we go.
Scarlet Spider, Kane. Oh! He is the best version of that character, because he hates everyone. Doesn't want help. With great power comes a great pain in the ass, is the way Kane looks at it. It's like, I don't want to help people. Damn it, I gotta help these people.
Todd was just like, what if so I was Spider-Man?
It's more of like a self-identification.
Yeah,
that's totally it. But I don't think he's going to make it out of Spider-Verse alive.
Oh, they killed him once before and he came back.
Yeah, but now he is the host of The Other, which is everything that they're all hunting, blah, blah, blah. And of course, I love how 616 Peter Parker is like...
He's the best one.
Of the guy. Like, of course.
Really?
Of course.
Really? Even though he says,
who, me? And they're all like, yeah, you. It's like, why couldn't it be somebody else? Why couldn't it be somebody else?
It should be Spider-Man.
Or
just something fucking weird.
Give it to Miles, man.
Before they killed the host of Fruit Spider.
That would have been awesome. That makes me want to collect it. The host of Fruit Pie thing you said, I was like, I'm in.
That issue of Spider-Verse was pretty good. They had a really great steampunk version of a Spider-Woman with steampunk versions of the Sinister Six. That was actually really good.
I want to ask everybody here. They've shown that old man spider.
Yes.
Okay, is that 60s Spider-Man or is that Uncle Ben? Because it's one of those two things.
Like 60s cartoon Spider-Man?
Yeah. Because they haven't done him yet.
But he's wearing the same outfit that jacket thing from like the JMS run, right?
Where he
went to the future. So it's... But I mean, again, they play with that stuff.
But they keep saying, every time they show that character, it's like, oh, we don't know who he is yet. So it's not that guy that we know who it is.
Is Spider-Man Noir in there?
Interesting.
Yes.
Is he?
He's in there. He's actually one of the main players.
Really? I gotta...
They're just rolling into the club.
Eight spiders.
I haven't collected any Spider-Man in years, and that would be an interesting...
It likes deep.
I hope it is the classic cartoon Spider-Man.
I think they would have thrown him out there already if they weren't him.
All right, so we pretty much have to wrap it up. This was a very loose episode. A lot of stuff
going all over the place, but I liked it. We had a lot of stuff to talk about.
Again, we mentioned you a lot. We talked about stuff with you a lot outside of this, and we sort of touched on stuff we talked about all over the place, I think. You know what? It's the Todd special.
Well, I want to thank you guys very much for having me here. Yep. I respect you all as creators, everything that you guys have done.
Ooh.
I think it's really great and special, and that you keep putting stuff out. We need more guys like you who like comic books enough to make them
with no money involved whatsoever.
On that note, we are taking
and
money.
And on that note,
yeah. Please send us money. This is the episode where Todd made us feel good
Island,
and then
bye
bad. That's the Todd special.
Yay!
The Todd special.
I'll build you up to break you down.
Let's wrap it up. So who are we? I will start because I am a
greedy
human being. I am Bri Kotick. It's you can look me up at welcometohereafter.com. That's my comic called Welcome to Hereafter about what happens when God loses his job. And there's some buttons on the top, and you can click them. It'll take you to my Twitter and what other junk I have. There's stuff. I don't know.
Check out Bri's junk. I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. Merc, or nowadays on Facebook, at mercasylum. You can purchase stuff, and I can receive currency for those things. I can send you books and t-shirts.
Like this t-shirt that I'm wearing
right now. Actually, that one you can't get anymore.
Exclusive.
And do the exclusive Merc shirt.
He has merchandise. Audio format.
Yeah. So you have merchandise you can purchase online.
I have merchandise.
That makes you the smart one. What? I don't know what
that's not inaccurate.
It's not inaccurate, no.
And I'm Kyle, and you can check my stuff out at skiningas.com. Comics and poetry and alt text. You know, like when you hover over a comic and other words show up? I got that.
I'm too lazy for that, but Kyle's got your back.
You do that?
I do.
I've never seen that.
The reason I do that is because every time someone finds that out, they get a big spike because they read all my old stuff. And Todd, do you have anything to plug?
No, something. I actually have nothing going on in my life. I'm 40 years old and work at a comic book store for minimum wage. I'm probably going to kill myself. Thanks for listening to Zero Issues Podcast.
There's so many issues, really.
That's a good point to end it. That's what I was thinking.
Oh Lord.
Well, goodbye.
Yeah. I got zero issues.
Everywhere.
Stumbled upon a spider orgy in the woods once. They didn't care. I watched.
So I did.
The web comes. Is it rockin'? Don't come and knock.
Well, can you talk just a little bit more?
No, I...
That sounded like the best insult ever.
Oh my God.
Can you talk just a little bit more?
Are you recording
right now? Dick.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to hear what it sounds like.
Because I think we got ourselves a tag.